A fifth night of war. Missile attacks continued between Israel and Iran. Hundreds are dead across both countries, according to officials there. One of the most dramatic moments came on Monday when Israel bombed Iranian state television in the middle of a live broadcast.
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیوم
Well, the station was back on air a few hours later. But how and when will the war end? President Donald Trump left a meeting of the G7 in Canada early to return to Washington. He's expected to call a meeting of his National Security Council, including the Defence Secretary. We're joined now by Richard Dalton, who was Britain's ambassador to Iran between 2003 and 2006. Richard Dalton, you're very welcome. Good morning. Is it only America who can finish this war?
No, one side or other could land a decisive blow, which causes one of the warring parties to think again. In terms of diplomacy, yes, the American position is crucial, but at the present, it's extremely hard for any outside party to influence Israel. They are on a mission of their own. Of course, there's a possibility that this war will go on a considerably longer time than it has lasted already, in that both sides have got deeper resources than they've deployed so far. Iran has shown itself in previous wars against the war that Iraq launched against Iran, shown itself capable of absorbing immense casualties and immense destruction. So it's not at all clear whether anything early will happen.
Do you think America could be drawn into the war, whether it's in response to Iran targeting its bases in the region or Israel wanting them to help them to bomb the nuclear sites in Iran?
American assistance to Israel has stayed below the threshold at which Iran would feel itself bound to retaliate against American facilities in the Middle East. Iran is being prudent. It knows that it would get a massive response from the United States if they did attack an American facility and cause a loss of American lives. That's what's happened in the past. And I don't believe the Iranians wish to give the Americans any excuse to attack the deeply buried nuclear research facility at Fordo under a mountain. Of course, it's possible that the Americans will decide to get involved unilaterally and accede to Israeli requests to do that job on Fordo using weapons and techniques that America has, but Israel has not.
How advanced is Iran's nuclear program? Is it in any way close to having a nuclear bomb?
In one way, it is close in the sense that it has got a deposit of uranium enriched to the 60% level, which can be further enriched to the level of 90%, which is what you need for manufacturing metal for the core of a bomb. But in the crucial sense of whether or not it has conducted research and development to turn that enriched uranium into a weapon, there is no evidence. Israeli action was not warranted on the grounds that there was an imminent threat of a nuclear weapon being developed.
And the regime is despised by so many in the country, and it was humiliated certainly on Friday and Saturday by the intensity of the Israeli bombardment. But I wonder, its default over the decades has been to defy its aggressors rather than to capitulate. And I wonder, could an extended war with large civilian deaths act to rally public opinion in Iran?
Certainly, there have been many expressions of support from a very wide range of institutions and people inside Iran for Iran's self-defense in response to Israeli aggression. But you're right that the regime does not enjoy majority support. Personally, I don't think that the prospect of collapse of the Islamic Republic, which Israel is seeking to promote, is near. I don't think the leaderships of the different institutions which form this very large, very well-entrenched system of rule are going to suddenly rat on Ayatollah Khamenei. And I don't believe there's going to be the kind of mass uprising in the streets which could force security forces to change their mind about whether or not they repress crowds, fire on crowds, and protect the regime. I don't think there is a ready alternative at hand, and that is restraining a lot of people from going out into the streets. There's no charismatic leader, there's no alternative party that could gather to rule. So although you can't rule it out at present, it's not looking likely that the Islamic Republic will fall.
And then there are many talking about this so-called race for a bomb in the current climate. But the Supreme Leader has hinted that whoever or whatever might replace him could make things worse. His successors might abandon his fatwa against nuclear weapons that has prevented Iran from breaking out. Others might rush to a bomb, waving the nationalist card. Do you agree?
Exactly. They've been attacked and had their facilities destroyed and their citizens killed by a nuclear power. So there will be massive public support for nuclearization now. And it would be unwise of Iran to remove itself from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but that has been an option that has been discussed in regime circles many times when Iran faced reverses and is now more likely than ever.
Richard Dalton, Britain's ambassador to Iran between 2003 and 2006. Thank you very much for joining us on Morning Ireland. It's 8:22. Let's return now to the Israel-Iran war. Speaking on his way into cabinet this morning, the Taoiseach Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Harris said that the safe evacuation of European and in particular Irish citizens from both countries needed to be a priority at today's EU meeting of foreign ministers.
This morning I spoke to our ambassador in Tel Aviv and our ambassador in Iran to get an update on the number of Irish citizens seeking assistance. We now have around 30 people registered in Iran as Irish citizens. Many of them are long-term residents in Iran. And in Israel, we have around 200 people on our citizens register there. In both Tehran and Tel Aviv, a number of people, a relatively small number, have indicated that should evacuation options become available, they'd like to be considered to avail of them. I think it's so important that Europe today considers how we can much better coordinate in terms of how we get our citizens out of Israel and out of Iran, if and when it's safe to do so, or if and when routes become available. None of this is easy. The airspace is closed, land borders can be treacherous, but the well-being and safety of European, and particularly from my perspective, Irish citizens in Israel and Iran has to be a priority.